You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Look in your Bibles at Matthew 28. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28 is the gospel, one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, and that's what this Sunday is all about. I hope you've gotten the message so far. It's about the fact that Jesus died and he was buried, but he rose again. And I'm so thankful that we know that Jesus is alive. You know, in 1815, and I wasn't there, my children would think I was there. They asked me the other day, you know, if we had... what'd they say? Did you have cars when you were growing up or something? So I'm still a little bitter. I'm trying to get over that. You know, you think your children are smart, and then they ask a question like that, and you say, where did they get that? Probably from the mother's. No, not from the mother's side. I'm just teasing. But in 1815, all of Europe, for the most part, was at war. And during this time, it seemed like Napoleon Bonaparte, it seemed like that he was going to conquer all of Europe. It seemed as if he might even become the dictator of much of the world because of his conquest. He had already conquered the mainland continent of Europe, and really it seemed like only England, led by their army, led by the Duke of Wellington, it seemed like that was probably the last shot to stop the advances of Napoleon. As the Battle of Waterloo was fought, England held their breath and waited for a message to be flashed across the water from the mainland, to be flashed across to send the message of what was the result of the Battle of Waterloo. It was a very foggy day, and as if you've been over there in that part of the country, there's a lot of fog over there. We refer to it as the London fog. But as the message was flashed across the water, the hope seemed to be crushed, and the dreams and the ambition seemed to be dismayed, because the message was flashed across, Wellington defeated. And it seemed like there was no hope. It seemed like for England, it seemed like that the battle was lost. It seemed like there was nothing now that could be done. The people were as gloomy as the weather. Pessimism and discouragement had overwhelmed the nation of England until the fog lifted. And when the fog lifted, the entire message was sent. And the entire message was not Wellington defeated. But the entire message was Wellington defeated Napoleon. Isn't that amazing? When you only get part of the message, it can seem like it's pretty bad. And for these disciples, it seemed pretty bad after they had witnessed Jesus Christ being scourged. They had witnessed Jesus being mocked. They had witnessed Jesus being led to the cross. They had witnessed Jesus being nailed to the cross. And they had witnessed that crown of thorns being beat into his skull. And then he hung on the cross and he died. And they took his body off the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea, he went and he begged for the body of Jesus so that he could give Jesus a proper burial. You see, the disciples thought it was over. The followers of Jesus, they thought it was finished. His body was placed in the tomb, and that tomb was sealed with a huge stone. And it was Sunday morning that Mary Magdalene and Salome, these ladies came to anoint the body. They thought the body was still there. They thought Jesus was still dead. You see, they hadn't read the entire message yet. The message as of Saturday night was Jesus was defeated. And they believed that to be true. But when they came on Sunday morning, and when they found that stone rolled away, and they found that empty tomb, they found out they didn't know the entire message. The entire message was not Jesus was defeated. The entire message was Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus defeated the grave. He defeated death. He defeated hell. The entire message was Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And the angel said, he is not here, for he is risen. And I want to give you just a few thoughts, four to be exact, so you know how well we're making progress. And I won't keep you long because we've got a lot going on today. But I want to give you four surprises that were realized at the tomb. Number one, it's found in Matthew chapter 28. The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I see the first surprise that was realized at the tomb is the surprise of the resurrection. Now, we know the story. We've read the story. We sing songs about it. We've heard messages about it. We've heard Sunday school lessons about it. I remember when I was a boy, the old flannel graph. Anybody ever remember in Sunday school the old flannel graph? Pictures that would be put up and the teacher would show you there's the tomb and then the stone is rolled away and it's empty and there's Jesus appearing to Mary and the disciples. But friend, I want to tell you, they didn't have that. They didn't know. They showed up that Sunday morning thinking that Jesus was dead. But boy, oh boy, were they in for a surprise. They realized the surprise of the resurrection. They realized that Jesus Christ was not dead. They were looking for him. They thought he was dead. But in reality, he was alive. And I want to tell you this morning, the way that that affects us is because Jesus lives, we can live also. Because Jesus conquered death, he can give us life. And not just physical life, but Jesus can give us eternal life. If he were still dead, we would have no hope. Because how could a person that's dead conquer death for us if he couldn't conquer death for himself? But Jesus conquered death, and the resurrection is the proving. The resurrection is the monument of the empty tomb is what we look to say, hallelujah, Jesus Christ can give us eternal life. Jesus Christ can conquer death and the grave and the hell, and Jesus Christ can give you new life, and he can give you eternal life. Friend, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, trusting Jesus is not just turning over a new leaf. Trusting Jesus is not just a fresh start. Trusting Jesus is not just a prop to make you feel better about yourself. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus is a transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are passed from death unto life. Whereas you were destined for hell, but when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life in a place called heaven. I'm glad for life that Jesus gives. But secondly, if you turn with me to Mark 16, if you have your Bibles there, I see not only the surprise of the resurrection, but I see the surprise of the removal. In Mark 16, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us that these ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, that they had come to the tomb early on Sunday morning. And you know what their biggest burden was? You know what their biggest concern was? Nobody's going to be able to roll that stone away for us. They weren't even thinking that Jesus would be alive. They just wanted somebody to remove that stone so that they could get in and they could care for the body of Jesus. Now, we probably would look on now and laugh and say, if Jesus can rise from the dead, that stone being rolled away, that's the least of your worries. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be concerned about that. If Jesus could conquer death, he can roll a stone away. If Jesus can conquer the grave, he can roll a stone away. That's not a problem for God. But yet, how many times do we allow obstacles to get in our way? How many times do we allow roadblocks to get in our way and we're stressed? Oh, I can't get to Jesus. Oh, I can't live for Jesus. Oh, I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. I can't get to church. Can't serve God. I can't do this. Can't do that. You know, I got this roadblock in my life. I've got this burden I'm dealing with. Well, friend, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, if he can give you eternal life, he can give you victorious life. He can remove the roadblock. He can remove the stone. Jesus is in the business of rolling stones away. You see, there was an account that we read about in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were getting ready to go into a promised land. But they had a problem. The first city that they were going to conquer was going to be the city of Jericho. And the problem was that Jericho had walls that were really high. And Jericho had walls that were really thick, so much so that the spies had said, "We can't do it." And because of the spies and because of their influence, the Bible says the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they just couldn't get into the land, and God caused them to wander in the wilderness for that time as judgment. So now they come to the Jordan River. They cross the Jordan River, and they're going into the promised land, but the first city is Jericho. And those walls were there, and those walls were big. And God allowed his people to see how big they were. God allowed his people to march around the city. Do you remember this story? They marched around the walls of Jericho one time every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around the wall seven times, and still, the walls hadn't budged. The walls were in the way. How could they ever be victorious? How could they ever conquer the promised land? How could they ever get into Jericho when the walls were stopping them from progress? But you know what God did? He did the same thing that he can do for you. He knocked the walls down. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And God did it, and he let them see it. Can I tell you, I don't know what the walls are in your life. I don't know what the stone is that's in the way. I don't know what the roadblock is. But I know that God is very good at removing roadblocks. God is very good at lifting burdens. As a matter of fact, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. I'm glad for the surprise of the removals. God can remove those things that are stopping you. Say, well, what kind of roadblocks does God remove? He removes the roadblocks that are stopping you from getting to him. They were seeking Jesus, weren't they? They weren't out having a good old time doing their own thing. They were seeking Jesus. They sought to worship him. They sought to honor him. They sought to respect him. And when you get serious about seeking Jesus, you will be amazed at how God can clear the way. You'll be amazed how God can clear the path and make it so that you can get to Jesus. Turn with me, please, quickly to the book of Luke. We see the third surprise of the resurrection. It's found in Luke, and it's found in chapter 24. We find in Luke 24, in verse number 5, that the angel said to these folks that came to the tomb, he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, we know that Jesus was alive, but they thought he was still dead. And if you're looking for a dead person, I can understand going to a cemetery. I can understand that. I can understand going to a graveyard. But friend, if you're looking for somebody that's alive and well, that's not the place you need to go looking for them. Most of us in here, and I think probably I'd be an exception because of a lot of funerals and graveside services. You might find me there from time to time. But most people you're not going to find at a graveyard. You know why? Because they're alive. These folks were looking for Jesus. But they were looking for a man who was alive, and they were looking for him in a place where people were dead. But notice what Jesus says in notice what the angel says in verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Here's the surprise of the empty tomb. God gave them a reminder. And you know what we all need? We need some reminders. I'm not just talking about husbands forgetting what their wives told them. And then she says it again, and you say, oh, I remember. And by the way, wives forget sometimes too, right, fellas? Yeah, not very many of you believe that. How about this? Have you ever been at work? And your boss says, I told you yesterday that this was the first thing that needed to be done today. And when the boss says it, you think, oh yeah, I remember now. I didn't remember when I came into work, but I remember it now. You know what we need? We need some reminders. And when these women and these disciples, they came to that empty tomb, they got a reminder. And the reminder was that God had already taken care of things, that God had already kept his promise. God reminded them of his word. And friend, I want to tell you, I'm glad that today is Easter Sunday, but we've got the promise of the word of God. And it's not just good for Easter Sunday. It's good for next Sunday. And it's not just good for Sunday. It's good for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. It's good for your life. It's good for my life. We have the reminder of the promises of God. But then lastly, I see in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, I see the surprise that was realized at the tomb was the surprise of reassurance. In John 20, in verse number 2, Mary came to the tomb, and the Bible says in verse 2 that she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Mary's panicking here. Mary is having a spaz attack, and she goes to Peter and John, and she says, you're not going to believe this. They stole his body. He's not here. They took him somewhere, and we've got to find him. And so Mary's on a mission. We have got to find the body of Jesus. Mary was there when Jesus had been put in that tomb. She saw it. So she comes back Sunday morning. The stone is rolled away, and she's looking for the body of Jesus. You know what's amazing? As she was looking for Jesus, Jesus was already looking for her. And that's a wonderful realization. When you're looking for something, you're looking for something to fill a void. You're looking for something to give you peace. You're looking for something that can bring satisfaction. You're looking for something that can bring fulfillment. You're looking for something in your life that only can be filled by Jesus, and you find that the whole time you've been looking for him, he's been looking for you. The Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We see the reassurance of his presence. Verse number 14, Mary, when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him, if thou hast carried him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Mary said, we can't find him. We can't seem to find Jesus. We don't know where they took his body. And the next thing you know, Jesus shows up. He calls her name. And when she heard Jesus call her name, she knew exactly who it was. Friend, you may be here today, and you hear your names being called. With all the noise and all the busyness and all the things of life and all that's going on, you know you're looking for something. You know you need something. And today I want to tell you, while you're looking for Jesus, Jesus is already looking for you. Jesus came to seek you. He came to save you. He died on a cross because he loves you. And the realization is this, that Jesus Christ came to find you. You see, the story of the resurrection, the story of the empty tomb, it proves to us and it shows to us that Jesus came not just so we could have another story to talk about, not so we could just have another holiday to celebrate, but Jesus came so that you and I could be saved. The Bible says that we're all sinners and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God showed, or God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know why he died? For you, for me. He died because he loves you. He died because he loved me. He died to save us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to tell you, today would be a great day. Today would be the best day for you to get that settled. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 7, there's another surprise that we find in the Bible, and this is not a good surprise. I just told you about four surprises from the tomb. Those were good surprises. But in Matthew 7, the Bible describes a scene that will take place at the great white throne judgment. And the Bible says that at that day, there will be many that will say, Lord, did not we cast out devils in thy name? And did not we in thy name do many wonderful works? But yet Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Wait, whoa, hang on. We're talking about people that did some amazing things. We're talking about people that were religious, people that tried to live good, and people that tried to do good. And yet Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. How is that possible? It's possible because of this. Being a good person won't get you to heaven. Being a church member won't get you to heaven. Being baptized in a baptistry here or another baptistry, or getting baptized in Lake Gaston or Roanoke Rapids Lake, that will not save you. The only way that a person can be saved is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And in Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. And today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you the good news is this. You can do it today. But the scary part is, the devil's already telling you later. The devil's already saying, don't even worry about it. You're okay. Friend, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what our church thinks. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way that a person can get to heaven. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a question or two, and we'll have a hymn of invitation in just a moment. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder, first of all, how many would say, Pastor, I'm here today, and I know for sure. I have no doubt. I'm convinced. I'm confident. I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven because I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand if you say, I know that. I am sure of that. I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Perhaps you could not raise your hand. And if you could not raise your hand, I want to tell you, I appreciate your honesty. And I want to tell you, I don't know that you'll ever be in a better position. I don't know if you'll ever be in a better situation to trust Christ than you are right now. And here's why. Because you are in a room filled with people that would love nothing more than for you to get it settled today.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.